Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look just at a couple verses and really consider baptism in the book of Acts. Just a moment, just a highlight flyover. If you need a Bible, our men are available there to hand those Bibles out to you. Acts chapter 2, and in that chapter, in a glorious way, on the day of Pentecost, this is when the church began in the first century, with the coming of the Holy Spirit. Some amazing things were taking place. And we read in verse 41, following Peter's sermon, the people were so moved as they heard the message of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. And folks, by the way, that's what sets Christianity different apart from any other world religion. We have a risen Savior. All the other religions, you go to the gravesite or to the monument of the person who has died, and there you remember him. I remember years ago going to the gravesite of Chairman Mao. Actually, he was entombed in a glass enclosed case in the middle of Tiananmen Square in China, in Beijing. And there he was, and everybody was passing by. And, you know, that's like the world rulers or world religions and their leaders. But Jesus Christ is no longer in the grave. He is alive, and he's in heaven today. And that's why we have a message. That's why we get excited about talking about Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and the resurrection. And so these first disciples who were devastated at the death of Christ, disappointed, discouraged, and running away, all of a sudden they saw the resurrected Christ and he walked among them for 40 days, it tells us earlier in the book of Acts. For 40 days, he showed himself to his disciples and pointed out the nail prints in his hands and in his side, the scar from the stab wound. And that, all of a sudden, just kicked off an excitement for those early disciples. And they went and did amazing things because of the impact the risen Savior had in their lives. Notice in verse 41, so those who received his word, Peter's words, were baptized, and there were added that day, and added to what? Added to the church that day 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. But notice, these early disciples, as they heard the word about Christ, they believed that word that they heard, and they wanted to follow naturally with baptism. That was the first step that they wanted to take. So I wanted to talk to you for the next 10 minutes about, I'll keep adding 10 minutes as we go along, about this matter of baptism, because I think it's important. We all come from different faith practices, and I'd like to just share, why do we do what we do? Why do we have a tank over here with however many gallons of water in it? Why don't we just use a glass of water and sprinkle it on their heads or dump it on their heads, as the case may be? Well, if you look through the book of Acts, you see that the word baptize or baptizo in the Greek is used over and over again, and never once does it mean to pour or to sprinkle an individual. It always has the idea of plunging under, of dunking under the water. The early Baptists were called dunkards because of their dunking people under the water. And you find references like this. There was much water. Baptism required much water, another passage. Baptism required going down into the water and then coming up out of the water. So every case where water baptism was used, it was referring to a body of water, whether it was a river. I'm sure they didn't have a baptistry like this. And you know, if we sprinkled here, it would save a lot of time, a lot of gallons, a lot of heating up. But we do it because the word itself means to baptize, to go under the water. Why else? Because it shows the picture of our identification with Jesus Christ. As a person goes under the water, they're identifying with Christ in his death and burial. And as they're raised out of the water, they're identifying themselves with the resurrected Lord. And they determine to die to their old self and to walk anew in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the picture itself is very symbolic, going under the water, coming out to picture this new determination to no longer live to ourselves, our selfish desires, but to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple points, 4 points this morning. Baptism was never done, as we look at the book of Acts, it was never done to achieve salvation. In Acts chapter 16, and I'll just refer to these for the sake of time. Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, in the wonderful account there, if you want to see an exciting story of someone coming to faith and trust in Christ, look at the Philippian jailer. And the Philippian jailer, with all that was going on, he approached Paul and Silas and said these words, "Sirs, what do I need to do to be saved?" And the response was this: "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." I find it very revealing that there he didn't say, "Go and be baptized. Go and join the church. Be nice to people." It said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." If our problem was external grime, then we better go take a bath or a shower. But the problem is, our problem is sin, and that's inside. Our hearts need scrubbing. And no amount of cleanser, no amount of water, soap, shampoo, or deodorant can take away that problem. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ can forgive us of our sin. And it's as we put our trust, as we believe in who Christ is and what he has done, that we're saved. So baptism in the New Testament was never designed to save us. It was always to take place after believing. In fact, that's the second point. Baptism was the natural next step for followers of Christ who believe. We believe here in our church in believers' baptism. That means that only believers. Now again, in the case of Michael at that time, we thought that he understood about what it meant to really trust Christ as Savior. But in his heart of hearts, he didn't understand until later on. We don't know that. There's no green light that goes on your head that says, boom, I'm a believer now. That would make it a lot simpler. But the reality is we don't know. And it's based on, as you look at a person's life, as you see evidence in their life, whether they're following Christ in obedience, whether they truly are a follower. All through the book of Acts, we find it's always believe and the next step, be baptized. Acts 2:41, we read it already. Acts 8:12, and when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God, they were baptized. Acts 8:13, Simon himself believed and afterwards was baptized. Acts 9, verse 18, Saul on the road to Damascus, he believed and the natural response was to be baptized. Acts 10:47, individuals believed and they received the Holy Spirit and were baptized. Acts 16:14 and 15, a woman named Lydia believed and was baptized. Acts 16:31, the jailer and his family, they believed and were baptized. Crispus in Acts 18:8, the ruler of a synagogue believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and then they went and were baptized. So this is always the pattern in Scripture. A person is not baptized, I believe, as a baby. You never find infant baptism in the Bible. I challenge you, look for it. Point me out if I'm wrong. But you find it's always believing and then being baptized. The inward decision is followed by an outward expression. The outward expression is always an indication of an inward reality. And so as these three went through the baptismal this morning, it was a public declaration. I am a believer in Christ. So we see, first of all, that the wording itself, we find the example in Scripture is that it was done this way, that baptism does not save, but baptism is always the next step in the process. Third, baptism was a step of obedience. All throughout this, we find it's a step of obedience. And we mentioned that several times in our discussions. Jesus' last word to his disciples before he ascended back to heaven was, "Go and make disciples and then baptize them and then teach them." And so folks here, we take that very seriously. When a person says, "I'm a believer," We ask them questions to see really if they understood. Then we see that they're baptized to follow Christ and to walk in obedience. And then we continue to instruct them in God's word so that they know how to live the Christian life. And fourth, not only is baptism not done to be saved, it's always following. It's the next step, and it's a step of obedience. Fourth, in the early church, it was a courageous step. For those believers in the early church, as they went public, it really meant for the first time maybe they were ostracized from their family. They were maybe kicked out of their family. They were persecuted, and in some cases, they were martyred. Because it's easy to say, I'm a believer, until we do something like this, where we make it public in a river or in a baptismal tank. We let our family know, we let our friends know, I am a follower, I'm not ashamed, and I am going to live for Jesus Christ. And some families don't like that. In China, many of the families, as I lived over there for 3 years and was a missionary there in that land, and in Hong Kong actually, when they became a believer, many of those young people, their parents said, you're no longer a part of this family. So baptism, it was a step of obedience, but it was a courageous step. And I appreciate the courage of these three today who were willing to stand in front of friends and family and say, I'm going public. I'm not ashamed of Christ. Now, does that mean that they're going to be perfect from now on? Absolutely not. Because you can just look at me, an imperfect, sinful pastor, saved at the age of 5, baptized at the age of 10. And man, I have done a lot of things to grieve my Savior, but my heart's desire is to please Him, to live for Him. And that really is what makes the difference. When someone is baptized, it doesn't mean they're going to live perfectly from that point on, but it means that they're a child of God and they want to live the best they can for their Savior. Baptism is not just an event, not just something you do. It's expressive of the fact that my life is united with Jesus Christ. I want to live for Him. He lives within me, and my life is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. I encourage you, if you have never been baptized, if you don't know what it means to believe on Christ, to become a follower of Christ, boy, I would love to talk to you. I would love for us to have another service in a couple months and fill this place up with folks who are wanting to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. See, it didn't take too long, right? I just want us to understand really the heart of what we are doing here and what it means to be a follower of Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. May all of us examine our hearts. May we look within and see, are we a follower of Christ? And then are we following through our lives, through our actions, through obedience by way of believer's baptism? God, work in all of our hearts. May we respond and show forth that we mean business for Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.